I thought it was important for the community to just kind of reflect on what the what's been accomplished in this last term of your town council.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters. Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. There was the town council meeting last week, so we're talking with our town council chair, Tom Mercer, this morning to recap that 4-hour-plus session. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Good morning, Steve. I think I recovered over the weekend from the lengthy meeting, but there was a lot of legislation that we needed to get through, obviously. And I felt strongly about the fact that, it was the sitting council that had done the majority of the work on putting those pieces together. So I thought it was important for us to get through them prior to November 4th. So that's why it was lengthy.
Yes. No, and I think it was appropriate at least because, yeah, the given the potential for a new council and what changes there, to the extent that you already done the work, even if they were going to approve, it's going to still be a delay. And some of those are economic development related, and time is money.
This is true.
So you started off with the fire department promotions, and we knew those were coming because the domino effect of the chief leaving was certainly going to provide some open spots. So domino one, two, and three stepped up.
Absolutely. And again, this is something that I started a few years, bunch of years ago, bringing in these promotions to the council, the swearing in of new officers or paramedics, depending upon which department, but bringing them before the council and giving the community an opportunity to see all of this come about. So, unfortunately, when we had to postpone last week's meeting, this was all going to be done, well, 2 weeks ago now.
Right, right.
The fire chief was sworn in, actually sworn in, and had his badge pinned, and that's Chuck Allen, and great choice, somebody that's come up through the ranks within the p department, and looking forward to a wonderful job that I know Chuck will do. He's been involved, as I said, forever, right up from a firefighter, paramedic, to lieutenant, to captain, to battalion chief, and now he's our new fire chief. So look forward to great things coming from Chuck and his administrative team. And by Chuck coming up and taking over the chief's position, that opened a spot as a battalion chief. And another local person, Sean Lovely, was promoted from captain to battalion chief, and we had an opportunity to watch Sean get sworn in and promoted. So that was another great one to see. And of course, the building was full of firefighters and paramedics, all supporting all of these guys. And then the last one was, I'm sorry, lieutenant to the battalion chief. Then the lieutenant position opened up, and Jaden Brodeur was promoted to lieutenant. So, again, great to have these folks come before us and see their promotions given to them live on camera. So, those are the good things that we have, we get an opportunity to do as a council.
Agreed. Yep. Then you segued right from that to the approval, although it was slightly out of order, because you actually had to approve an increase in the number of the 250th Celebration Committee members before actually approving the appointment. But, minor matter.
Yeah, just a minor piece, but basically, we were just increasing the number of members on the 250th anniversary committee, and really looking for. And then we went back and approved the names, so we had to vote to increase the number, and then come back and vote the names. And I mean, I think it's a great opportunity to let people know the Cultural District Committee representative is Roberta Trahan. The Cultural Council representative is Swati Rao, and the Dean College rep is Sandra Kane. Historical Commission, Alan Earls, and the Library Board of Directors is Charlene Belcher. And then residents at large will be Robert Brown, Daniel Brunelli, Michael Carroll, Julie Camoni, Jason Joyce, Matthew Karras, Leon Mulligan, Debbie Pellegrini, Lynn Pickover, and Allie Room. So we thank these folks for stepping up and volunteering of their time. Looking forward to just a wonderful 250th celebration right down the road.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do, but
Yes, they do.
I'm sure there'll be others willing to help along the way.
I'm sure there will be.
And then the other important final approval was for the election workers, for the ones coming up. Well, they've already started working, but they're formally approved for on or before November 4th.
Yes, and again, it's always great to have an opportunity to read off the names. I won't read them today, but there's you
It's a
can go
long list.
online. It's a long, very long list, but we continue to thank those folks that volunteer and come forward to be part of the election workers team. We thank them again for giving of their time.
And then on the ABCC front, the King's Brick Oven Pizza came in for an all-alcohol license, restaurant victualler license, and after a discussion, you approved that.
Yes, again, this was a license that was actually out there, that establishment under the prior ownership had a full liquor license, and after that business closed, they brought in a new business owner, and it's K King's Brick Oven Pizza and Pub, and they went through the process of applying for a full all-alcohol beverage license, and we approved that, and look forward to stopping in and having a pizza one of these days. So,
Pizza and a beer or wine or
yeah,
whatever.
whatever. Yeah.
And then you shifted gears and we spent a few more than a few minutes on the historical museum with their vision for 2.0 or plus.
Yeah.
Alan Earls led that piece.
Yeah, and I think it was, I thought it was a great presentation. I thought Alan did a nice job of putting a little PowerPoint together and coming up with the histor as he called it, the Historical Museum 2.0. And it was nice to have him come and give us the vision of the Historical Commission, their vision for the museum. As we move forward, and as we move forward toward the 2050th anniversary of the community.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting too, because while they're open limited hours, they certainly would like to expand, but that also requires volunteers in order to do so.
Absolutely, absolutely, Steve.
And I think they'll have some additional awareness as well as we work towards that 2050 and 2028 as well. So
Yeah.
there'll be some good opportunities between what, World Cup next year and then the
Right.
250th. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then followed, they were followed right away with the historic district commission process. We really don't have a what is considered a historic district commission process, and Will Lee from the commission, from the historical commission, and Rowan Lowell, a town archivist, they presented the process to the council, and I think that will be on a future agenda down the road to discuss the possibilities of going forward and requesting from the state that designation for a particular area. But there's still a lot of work to do on that piece of it.
Yeah, definitely. And while they referenced and acknowledged as well, there's a couple of national registry entries for Franklin on the Town Common and Dean, but those really don't do anything from a historic preservation piece, which is what the historic district could bring if we choose to do that. So, more discussion. They would have to
More,
start, I
yeah,
believe, with the
more to follow for sure.
with a study and a report as to, kind of the pros and cons, as I would summarize it, and then
Yeah,
proceed accordingly.
exactly.
And then before you got into the actual rest of the voting, Jamie at least provided an update on the 24-25 goals, most of which you had pretty much accomplished beforehand, but then there was a few others in the remaining pieces of the agenda that you ticked off as well.
Absolutely. And I think I thought it was important for the community to just kind of reflect on what the what's been accomplished in this last term of your town council. And basically what this is when a newly elected council comes into office, one of the first things they do is set their goals for the next couple of years. Usually they do it in January following the November election. And you sit down with the town administrator and the administrative team, and you come up with the things and the goals that you would like to see accomplished. Each councillor putting forward the things that they he or she would like to see accomplished over the next 2 years. And then you talk about the feasibility of those goals and where they should fit into it. And in some cases, there's a financial piece to those goals, and that as well has to be considered as you look and move forward to them. And we were, I thought, very aggressive with the goals we put forth in 2023 and 24, I guess it
Yeah,
was
beginning of 24.
January of 24, the
Right.
election of 23. So anyway, I was I did think it was an aggressive list, but we did do that, and we put forth a summary last Wednesday night to the community, just kind of going through what those goals were and the status. And in most cases, we were able to complete 90%, 95% of the goals that we set forward. Some are still ongoing for one reason or another. Others had a financial piece that we really didn't have the money to complete, and that's okay. But it's not something that I think should be taken off. The next council then will look at the goals that are under still ongoing. They'll look at the goals that we weren't able to accomplish, and maybe they keep them on, maybe they remove them, put some new ones on. These are all things that will happen early on in January.
And then there were two resolutions to authorize Jamie and the town to apply for a state grant to help us fund a stormwater asset management plan. And anytime the state will help us, we like that.
Anytime there's a grant or an opportunity from the state or an opportunity from a private source, a corporation, we're all for applying for as many of those as we can possibly apply for. This is certainly one that would be very helpful to the community, and I'm sure Jamie and the administrative team are taking that and running with it as fast as they can to be one of the first ones in applying for said grants. So.
Definitely. And then another piece that had taken some time to do, but after multiple open forum sessions, etc., the adoption of the Schmidt Farm and Maple Hill master plans, which still require funding, but the master plans at least, this is the scope of what we're intending to do.
Exactly. And again, this is a piece that sometimes folks forget what the council has accomplished. And these are two pieces where the two largest parcels that were still available within the town chose to purchase. We as a council chose to purchase those two pieces of property. And as part of the open space, and along with CPA community preservation folks, were able to fund a portion of this so that now we own 200 and a total of 200 plus acres. It was we had Schmidt's farm, we had Maple Hill first, followed by Schmidt's farm, and then another little piece from not a little piece, but
Well,
from the Dalzell
17
family.
acres is, relatively
17.
small, but it's not little.
No, it is definitely not little. So the Dalzell family that donated the 17 acres that were abutted the Schmidt Farm property, so it just increased that open space that we were able to purchase. Now, there's been what we did the other night. We didn't choose to spend any money on actually doing the master plan for those two sites, but we approved the adoption of the master plans with walking trails and all of the different things, some parking areas for both sites. And it'll be up to the next council or future councils to decide what if anything of those two master plans can be accomplished, whether it be with funds off from the tax coffers or whether it comes from CPA. But I do believe as we move forward, that those two master plans should continue to be on the a couple of the goals for the councils as we move forward. And clearly, I think it's going to be something that we're going to have to chip off in little pieces. And maybe you can do one thing one year, something else the next year, or start part of it and continue it. That's how I think will be the best way to approach these two pieces of property as we move forward.
Yeah, because I think and agree that even a funding aside, it still requires resources and time. And we don't necessarily have sufficient resources to do all the work anyway. So it would have to be some sort of phased operation to bring it all to happen. So, yeah. And then you went into the residential commercial kitchens, which we've talked about. And these were the two final approvals so that for a commercial kitchen in a resident's home, if they have septic, they're not on town sewer, but if they have septic, they now have approval to start a commercial kitchen.
That's exactly right. And this has been a part of the process for a while. It's came through from the Economic Development Subcommittee back to the council, but we had already approved the commercial kitchens. This puts it on resident or
Yeah, I think it was more
septic.
commercial kitchen approved
Approved
for business
business.
operation.
Business operation.
Right.
Right. So now we have a situation where if they are on a septic system, we now will allow it there. Obviously, there's still things they have to go through,
Yes,
permits, so
approvals. And why
approval.
it's not yet a commercial kitchen in all of the residents? It would be a significant expense because you'd still have to implement a grease trap of some sort, and that is rather expensive.
Exactly. And that's, that was one of the pieces I'm sure that went into the thinking when we initially started this process is how do you help get somebody started and starting to build a business without going to that huge expense of having a commercial kitchen that they rent for.
Right.
In a downtown, in a retail establishment.
Right.
And these grease traps are very expensive. I know very well that they
Yeah. Yeah. So now, at least, if somebody wants to start, if there's a business and there's not yet one, but now the business at least is approved to open a commercial multi-use kitchen, or if the somebody is in septic, then they have it that way. Still don't have it all the way across, but those are steps towards improving our economic status there. The next major piece was the Crossing Neighborhood Zoning District. And that was what, six measures altogether? So, but it was
Yes,
all
it
piece
was.
by piece of the various zoning legislation to create and then enumerate the district.
Right. And again, this has been before us, I think, the last three meetings. So, but this was the final vote to put the actual approval of all the bylaws that allow and put the Crossing neighborhood district together, and some of the, obviously some of the changes that they spoke about is the three stories and, obviously promoting, retail on the first. Mixed use really
Sure.
is the key, trying to build up that section of our community. And as you look, you have the Children's Museum, you have La Cantina down there, you have Acapulco's down there, Jimmy D's, all those retail establishments that are currently there now. We have the SNET Trail and
Expansion coming, yep.
that expansion coming. And that's going to be a central piece to our community. So I think by putting these bylaw changes and actually coming up with the crossing district was a great thing, and it was great to get it accomplished just before the this term of the council ended.
Yeah, and I think
Really good stuff. Really good
the other
stuff.
piece we want to recognize too, I think the planning board gave some positive
Oh.
and great insights into some other modifications
Yeah.
that were made to that as well. And I know you had talked in our prior one where because of the timing between the planning board hearings and your hearings, they didn't have a full review before our final piece, but they did their due diligence and they did make some insightful adds. And at least in EDC Chair Hamblin's words, Yeah, we'll take these. Absolutely.
And exactly. Thank you for reminding me, Steve, that to explain what had happened there and why we made amendments to those motions under or those bylaw amendments during the second reading, where normally they it would be done before the first reading or at the first reading. And it was really because we felt, again, I felt strongly about getting these through prior to the election, because this council had worked so hard to get us to almost closing all of these in, and we were able to do that. And I had called the chairman of the planning board to ask him if it would be all right with him if we had a first reading, then sent it to him, and then take his their recommendations and make any amendments that they felt strongly about at the second reading. And that's exactly what happened. So once again, thanks to the planning board, Greg Rondo, for understanding what we were trying to do and what we were trying to get accomplished during this term. So.
And then the last item was kind of a repeating theme. So the state wants to give us money to help with the SNET rehab. And oh, yeah, by the way, we'll take
Be happy to.
So
Yeah,
there's really
so.
no action on that one. It was just an update from Jamie that DCR says they want to give us some money. It's like, cool, we'll take it for sure.
And we'll sit there and say thank you, thank you, thank
Yes, absolutely. It'll be put to good use for
Yeah.
all the above economic development mentioned items mentioned.
Sure.
Well, that was about 30 minutes condensing the 4 hour plus meeting. So thank you, sir, for helping us do that.
Well, thank you, Steve, and thank you for these quarterbacking sessions. I think it's a great opportunity for folks that may not have 4.5 hours to listen in or to re-listen, can kind of get a recap. And if they hear something they're looking for more information on, then they can go to YouTube or Franklin Matters, Franklin TV, or the website, and review and listen to that portion of the meeting that they had the stronger interest in.
Sure. Well, thank you again for doing this. And to the listeners, thank you for tapping in. And we do this as a quick reminder because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.